This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Private Equity Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by John Frankel. John is, I believe, the founder of FF Capital. He's going to tell us about his venture capital efforts, what he does, and a lot more, and where he specializes, and so on. John, can you take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us about FF Venture Capital?
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. I have too many kids to feel too full of myself, so I try not to. Kids bring you down, and keep you grounded in a good way, which I think is wonderful. Like a lot of people, I went to university. I happened to go to one in England, Oxford University. Had a blast there. I then had no idea what I wanted to do with my career. And so I decided to become an accountant and work for a company called Arthur Anderson for 4 years. And I'm a chartered accountant. I then joined in the UK Goldman Sachs, which was really unknown of as a firm. It had no reputation. It's obviously very different today. And I was at Goldman for 21 years in a variety of roles, helping build businesses for first half career and the last 11 years of career on the sales and trading floor. Covering hedge funds for US shares in New York. And it was, just a fascinating time in the financial markets. And something that, really taught me the big difference between beta and alpha, that, stocks move because the markets move, that's beta, and stocks move because of a very specific situation, and that's alpha. And I looked around and said, it's just too much beta in everything I do. How can I get more exposure to individual companies' performances? And so in late 99, I started investing in startups and carried on doing it and was pretty successful. Left Goldman in 08 and just decided to take 6 months to work out what I wanted to do. And after 5 months, found myself in a lawyer's office drafting up documents for a venture capital firm. Interesting time to raise, 10-year liquid money when everybody was running to money markets. Lehman had just sort of blown up. For those who remember the times, it was a period of huge uncertainty, a bit like the last year we've been through. But we started a fund. We sort of hung a shingle. We're now on our sixth fund. We look to invest at the earliest stages, can be pre or post revenue. We invest $300,000 to $700,000 for 10% of the company, and then we follow on deeply into about a $50 million valuation and stop. About half our companies go from a seed round through an A round to raise a B round, and that doesn't sound great until you realize that's about five times the industry. So we get things wrong a lot, like other VCs. We just try to get it less wrong. And because we've been doing this now for 13 years, we really, we're just fortunate to have a number of powerhouse companies still in the portfolio, growing 50 to 100% year over year, some worth over $1 billion, other, many worth over $100 million or $500 million. And compounding revenues in the sort of 25 to 40% mark year over year. And you put all that together, it's a lot of fun. You get to work with really amazing people, at the leading edge of various technologies. We have, approaching 80 active portfolio companies. I couldn't think of a better way to spend one's time.
What a magnificent thing. So talk about that number. And I love this concept. You probably explained this concept of seeking alpha, which everybody talks about and nobody understands better than I've heard it ever explained before. So I appreciate that greatly. Talk about this concept of seed investments. So 300 to 700,000 for a percentage of the company and 10% of the company, typically, and that seems to be the model that you work with. Talk about, for example, the the failure rate is 50% of those, it's binary, 50% of those don't get to the Series A or Series B, to the next level of growth.
So what's normal in the U.S. on an average year? And it's funny, you know, when you talk about averages with venture, you have to be careful because the returns follow a power curve, not a bell curve. So there are only certain areas you can talk about averages authoritatively. But if you have 100 investments that are equal weighted, you would expect a third of them to just fail. You wish they'd fail quickly, but some fail slowly. Then there's another third of the investments that are kind of ho-hum. Maybe you get your capital back, but they're just not great outcomes. They sort of, you know, carry along. And then the last third are where your returns are. And a third of the last third, so about 10% of your portfolio, is where about 80% of your returns are if you equal weight it. And, you know, so if you have a portfolio of 30 companies, maybe three are your real winners. And our objective is, can we add alpha as a venture capital firm through diligence, through helping companies, through capital allocation, so that more than 10% of our companies are the real winners? And that can be more than 10% of our capital. And if a third of our companies fail, and let it be less, and we've got data over the last 13 years that we've been able to make it less, can you then have way less than a third of your capital failing?
Let me ask you a question about less than a third. There's this great adage in college basketball. There's a great coach, but probably more important than anything is great talent, is choosing great talent, particularly in this one-and-done era of college basketball. How much of your alpha is doing a great job on the front end of teeing up with great ideas and great companies versus what you do throughout the process, or is it really a mix of both?
Oh, it's definitely a mix of both. You know, we look for amazing teams in spaces we think have massive total addressable markets. The term people use are TAMs. So you've got a massive TAM. And the business model. We like companies that have business models, not ones that think they'll work out what the business model will be in 3 or 4 years when they're bigger. We just constantly refine for that and then try to bring to the table what we can do to help them succeed, educate them, embed them in the community. When they have an issue, listen. That's actually highly differentiated. Really help them understand that making number-informed decisions is helpful. We're actually the only VC firm I know of who built an accounting firm. We spun it out, and it's a team of 50, 60 people now. But we built an accounting firm who could really help them understand not just financial accounting, but management accounting, contribution margin P&Ls, product line P&Ls, projections you can use to run your business. So there's a lot of process we bring to the table. We're not the specialists in the underlying technology. That's what management is there for. We're not trying to second guess on that. We're just trying to help them build businesses.
In how early stage of business, just a founder an idea, or do they have to be further along than that? Or if the founder and an idea, the founder's good enough, is it the founder and an idea that's good enough for you to fund off the seed round, sort of the planning round, or do you have to be further along than that?
We've done that, and we continue to do it. It really depends. I got to tell you, we invest where we're passionate. So if we're passionate about, the more passionate we're about the idea, the earlier we can invest. This concept that the one way for VC to say no is say come back when you have traction is really like just convince me, because I don't believe the idea, convince me that the numbers are proving me that I'm wrong. But we've invested off of a deck, but generally, if none of the partners really love the idea, Doesn't matter how good it is, we're not going to do it. We want to be in the trenches the next 5 to 7 years. How do you do that if it's meh?
And let me ask you a question. How important is it for a venture capital fund to be able to back up their bets, to be able to do the seed round, but be ready to also, you know, play through on the Series A and the Series B round in the next rounds?
It really, really depends. We invest in that first round, then we go very heavy until a $50 million valuation, then we just stop. That's unusual in the business. People talk about protecting your position and taking dilution and the like. You know, we invested in Owlet. We led the seed round. We invested in the next round. We didn't invest subsequently. They're going public through a de-SPAC. Sandbridge is the SPAC that they're merging with, ticker SBG. Once, you know, next month, hopefully, the whole thing goes ahead and it'll be, the ticker will be OWLT. You know, we're up 39 times on our investment. It's very difficult to do that if you invest in every round. And we now own a fraction of what we owned at the Series A and the Series B and the you know, Series C rounds. But we're still up 39 times, and it's very material to our fund. So, you know, we're doing what what's right and appropriate for our limited partners and for the what we're offering them. And we think
and let me ask you a question, though, but that requires magnificent discipline, doesn't it?
Well, I would just say discipline, but yes.
I mean, it really does. It requires you, or to be clear about what your business is and what your plan is, because the concept is, at some point, returns will normalize down from 39 times in almost any business, unless you happen to have invested in Apple or Amazon or something like that. Almost any business, at some point, the returns will normalize down, and if you want to keep on getting the returns you want, the better than the beta, the alpha returns, you need to have that discipline.
But look, what we do is there's clearly we have some amazing companies in our portfolio. So we go to ILPs and say, we've stopped investing, but if you want to invest, you can. And we stopped investing not because we don't love the company. We stopped investing because that's our discipline. And so we have a very active what we call a co-investment program to enable ILPs to come in those later rounds. That helps our companies. It's another source of capital, another source of intellectual capital that can help them. But yes, you know, that's the discipline and the definition of what our funds are about. And would we have other funds that might be later stage over time? Maybe. But today, this is what we do, and it's what we've been doing for the last 13 years.
Magnificent. And John, I assume that one of the S in FF Venture Capital is Frankel. I guess the great question, and whether I'm right or wrong in it, you have to let me know, who is the other F?
So it's actually not Frankel and Frankel. That's not what it stands for. It really stands for founder friendly. And we are very reputation based. We will not invest in a company until they've referenced us and talked to founders we've worked with, because we think we do differentiated work. However, and it's with two small Fs, two lowercase Fs. However, my father, who was born in 1926 and wasn't able to be a pilot during the war because he had asthma, got a private plane. It's a small little Cessna, a share in it with some friends, and used to fly, you know, to Paris for lunch from London, that kind of thing. And he loved it. He loved flying. And his friends bought him a flight bag, because this was before iPads and electronic devices, a flight bag to carry all the flight plans and the like. And it was a leather bag, and they got white vinyl letters that they stuck on it that said, "Fly Frankel." But they only bought the lowercase ones. And so whenever my father or myself, subsequent to that, saw anything with two F's in it, we would make a reference to it being two lowercase F's. So really, it is founder friendly, which is what it stands for. But also, you know, every time I hear it, it just reminds me of my father, who unfortunately passed away 21 years ago, too early. And so yeah.
Just magnificent. I do wonder if you know my close friend Joe Gutman, who spent 20 years or 30 years at Goldman through the great years of Goldman. But what a magnificent firm you were at, and what an unbelievable firm you've built at FF Venture Capital. And I love the I was wrong on the guesstimation what FF stood for, but I love now the understanding of the history of it and where it comes from. John, I want to thank you for taking the time to visit with us on the Vector Private Equity Podcast. What a great pleasure to visit with you today.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.